Well, of course, we're happy to be talking with you this evening, and I want to just get right into it because, well, there is a great deal of ground that we should try to cover, and nothing could be more germane. I mean, the international community is clamoring for peace in the Middle East. It was in the news again today. It was in the news yesterday. It was in the news the day before. The Obama administration is following the same failed Clinton-Bush footsteps, demanding that Israel trade its land for peace with Palestinians. Bill, this is your area of expertise. You think this elusive Middle East peace idea that we've been batting around for the last decade, I mean, or more than that, actually, are we finally at a point now where peace is going to be achieved through America's, I almost said Messiah, our new President Obama? Are we finally going to acquire peace? And I said that tongue-in-cheek, but I mean the question very seriously, and I would love to get a very straightforward answer from you on it.
Well, Tom, you know, I would like to say that we are. However, emphatically, I don't think so. I believe that the world's just about to be thrust into some war in the Middle East that'll create prophetic implications. You've got Psalm 83, Isaiah 17, and Ezekiel 38 and 39, these three prophecies I'd like to talk about. I believe they're about ready to happen. I believe they happen very soon, sequentially and in rapid succession. Now, there's nothing new being tried, like you said, in the question. Obama is following in the same failed footsteps. But, you know, all the international community has put this Middle East peace thoughts up to the top of the list because they know that it's at the deadline time where war is about to break out in the Middle East. And so, technically, what we really need to be watching is what's really Israel doing at this point in time. Israel has been preparing for a multi-front war since June, around middle of June of this past summer. Netanyahu came over here on May 18th and met with Obama. And then he went back, to Israel, and then Obama went over and did his trip to the Middle East, and he spoke in Cairo on June 4th. Well, the very day he's speaking in Cairo and quoting out of the Holy Quran and reaching out to 1.5 million Muslims, Israel is the last day of a five-day national civilian defense drill, the largest one in their nation's history, preparing all their citizens and all rungs of society from top to bottom for a multi-front war with Iran, Syria, Hezbollah, and Hamas. They are scheduled to have a chemical and biological national defense drill January of 2010, is what I'm hearing. So basically what I think Israel is preparing to do is to preemptively strike Iran and be prepared for a retaliatory response of a chemical and biological nature from the Hezbollah, Syria, and the Hamas. Quite the different approach from what, you know, the Mideast peace plan at this point in time. So, no, I really just don't see that happening. There's nothing new. The international community's had 61 years to work this out since Israel became a nation in 1948. It's failed miserably. And unfortunately, at this point in time, Israel has got its back to the wall. It's feeling more and more isolated. The Jerusalem Post did a poll. When Netanyahu came over and met Obama in May of this past year, Obama's among Israelis, they believed that he was pro-Israel. 31% of them believed that. The same poll was just done, and only 4% of Israelis believe Obama is pro-Israel. He has since he came here and met with Netanyahu, met with Obama. Obama has reached out to 1.5 billion Muslims. He's traveled to Saudi Arabia and Egypt and bypassed Israel. He's quoted, like I said, in his Cairo speech out of the Holy Quran. He's declared America is one of the largest Muslim populated countries in the world, which is not factual. There are more people, according to the CIA fact book, who believes that they've been abducted by aliens than there are Muslims in this country. He stated that America is no longer a Christian nation, but also a Muslim and a Jewish and nation of non-believers. These are the things he's done in the last 3 months, and this is why Israel's feelings towards him are declining rapidly. He's refused to give Israel a green light to attack Iran. He's allowed Iran to continue its nuclear program. And you know, the list just goes on and on. So in many ways, he's trying to do what the Bush-Clinton programs were, but they're really a little bit of difference now. At least Bush didn't reach out to the Muslims like Obama has done it. Mm-hmm. He's got Israel feeling very isolated, very threatened, and Israel has Netanyahu in place and the leadership in place to deal with the national security issues they have to deal with. To answer your question, Tom, in a nutshell, I believe that you can have Isaiah 17:1 happening in the very near future, which is, it talks about in that prophecy that Isaiah will cease to be a city. It will be a ruinous heap. And then we're talking about Damascus. Damascus is the oldest populated city in recorded history. It is also where most terrorist organizations have their affiliate agencies in there and or headquarters. I believe Israel is going to preempt a strike against Iran. There's going to be a war coming against Israel. Hezbollah already has 40,000 rockets that they can fire into Israel. They fired 4,000 into Israel in the summer of 06, and that was a 34-day campaign. They've got 40,000 now. There's concerns they've got chemicals also in their possession, chemical weapons. And I believe when this war starts to take place, Israel will not be able to deal with the war of attrition. They will have to launch out, and I think Damascus could be in their sights. The destruction of Damascus ceased to be a city, a ruinous heap. That's a major Bible prophecy, and most of us eschatologists are thinking this could be happening very soon, and I would say that this could even happen in the coming year.
Well, you said you believe that Israel may strike Iran preemptively. Of course, this week, even today, was in the news again. Israel has said that it is not going to let this year elapse before they attack Iran, unless the United States puts significant economic pressures on Iran. Well, look, are any of these economic pressures going to work? Is there anybody in your camp, do you or is anybody in your camp believe that these economic pressures are going to work with Iran? And if not, what does this mean in terms of what Israel is going to be cornered into doing? And do you believe what the news indicated to be before the end of this year?
Okay, let me answer that whole baker's dozen of questions there. You have the, like I said, the G5 plus one are meeting to talk about these types of things with Iran, and that would include China, United States, Russia, Britain, France, and then the plus one would be Germany. Now, we're not expecting China or Russia to want to impose intense sanctions upon Iran. So the real question is, can the sanctions be imposed by the West, and can those sanctions have a profound effect on Iran? They can. They can have a profound effect on Iran. I don't think they'll be imposed on the level they should, unfortunately, but they could have a profound effect on Iran. Now, that doesn't mean they would necessarily stop Iran's nuclear development program, but it could certainly try to stall them or cause havoc in that area. So that's question number one. I do believe there will be sanctions increased. I don't believe they'll be supported by all of the G5 plus one, and I don't think they'll be heavy enough to do what they're supposed to do. Now, like you said, there's been several reports that have come out. Wall Street Journal came out with a report just recently. Brett Stevens talked about that the Obama's campaign with Israel, his Mideast campaign, which, by the way, is pretty much a smokescreen. The peace with the Palestinians is not on Israel's big, it's not on the top of their list of priorities right now. They're concerned about Iran's existential threat with a nuclear weapon. And a president named Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who believes he's been called to an apocalyptic mission by Allah to bring back the end-time Islamic Mahdi by creating an apocalyptic condition in Israel, and has said he wants to wipe Israel off the map. That's got Israel concerned, and justifiably so. Now, the Wall Street Journal said that should this happen, that oil, of course, being one of the things affected. You know, in the OPEC nations, you've got Iran as the number two oil-producing nation. Saudi Arabia is number one. They estimated that you could see oil go to $300 a barrel in the event of something like this happening with a preemptive strike. And they're saying Obama's administration is forcing Israel to have to do this. Now, let's just look at that for a second. $300 a barrel, that's four times the cost of what it's closing at these days. I don't know about some of your listeners, but I travel to the radio station once a week, the studio, when I'm doing my Prophecy Update radio program. It costs me about $50 to get back and forth from where I'm going. I have to drive a couple hours. And, you know, if all of a sudden gas goes up four times as much, it's going to cost me $200 just to go do a program. That's $800 a month. Now, for people who are commuting back and forth, barely can make their mortgage payments and things like this, this is going to create a ton of havoc. Now, the other thing you just said is that they're now saying that they might have to up this attack even by the end of this year. Well, that was just recently said by the former deputy defense minister of Israel. He said if these sanctions are not imposed heavily enough, Israel may have to strike. I suspect Israel has already got a chosen, calculated date as to when they're going to strike. I believe their intelligence is far superior than what we think. Netanyahu just recently did a surprise trip up to Russia and spoke with Putin, and everybody's wondering, well, what did he say? Why didn't he tell anybody he was going? What's going on with that? I think that in light of the fact that they're probably going to be doing a major biological and chemical drill on January of 2010 to prepare their society for a multi-front war that's going to come against them, likely inclusive of chemical and biological weapons, I believe that Israel realizes when they strike Iran, that's what their society has to be prepared for. So therefore, I would put an Israeli strike most likely subsequent to such of a type of a drill. Now, it's just my educated guess. I don't have any. I haven't spoken to any of Netanyahu's higher-ups and said, hey, it's D-Day on such and such a date. Obviously, that would be information no one would know but the upper brass. But I suspect it's going to happen very soon, and I believe that next year is going to be a critical time. And I'm telling my friends that the most dangerous destination on earth next year is Damascus. Do not go to Damascus. If you have friends and family in Damascus, tell them to start forming their exit strategy immediately, because I can see that prophecy happening next, and then Psalm 83, which is the central theme of Israelistine, which your listeners, by the way, can get at prophecydepot.com. That's DEPOT.com. That's my website. That I believe that Psalm 83 will be catalyzed from that event. I believe that the Hezbollah could engage with Israel, along with perhaps Syria and the Hamas, et cetera, even Iran, depending on what Israel does to them. And that could catalyze into Psalm 83, which is a major Bible prophecy. And that talks about the 10-member Confederate population of Arabs that surround Israel today, and their ancient names are the Ishmaelites and Moabites and Edomites and all that stuff, the termites and the parasites and so on and so forth, who the listeners won't necessarily know who they are.
Yeah.
But who they are today would be the Lebanese, Hezbollah, Syrians, Jordanians, Palestinians, Philistines would be the Hamas, Saudi Arabia would be the Ishmaelites, Egypt would be the Hagarenes, and perhaps even the Al-Qaeda, because you've got the Amalekites in there, and they were down in the Sinai area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to say exactly where they all fit in. But, you know, if that name of players that I just listed, they are the enemies of Israel. Now, Iran, coincidentally, is not in Psalm 83, but it's in Ezekiel 38 and 39, which is a war prophecy that many people are thinking is going to happen real soon. That's where Russia hooks up with Iran in Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Bill, recently there was a ship that was stopped, and I want to ask you about this. It was sent from Russia. It was en route, perhaps, to Syria. It may have been carrying weapons of mass destruction. The original cover story, if you want to call it that, was that pirates had stopped this ship. It emerged later on that perhaps it was actually Israeli military intelligence, and that they had stopped this ship because Russia was sending weapons through maybe Syria to Iran. When we went to the break, you had just raised this issue. Do you believe that Ezekiel 38 and 39 depicts a Russian-Iranian-led nuclear-equipped invasion of Israel, and if so, are we on the verge of this occurring now? Is it unfolding before our eyes? Are we talking about Gog and Magog?
Yes, we are. And yes, I do believe that is identifying for us. There's 9 populations listed, and at the front and center of those populations are Russia. Some of the breakaway Soviet Union countries would fit in there. You also have Iran, Turkey, Libya, and there's some other places as well extended through there. I believe the ship you're talking about was called the Arctic Sea, and that was around July, I believe it was, that it was confiscated or somehow that it turns up missing, installed, and whatnot. And the concern from Israel was that there was this S-300 missile defense system being transported into Iran. Russia has contracted with Turkey and Iran to implement an S-300, but also an S-400 missile defense system, which is the state of the art. It makes the Patriot system, U.S. Patriot system, supposedly pale in comparison. So Israel's got its eyes on these types of things more than just their nuclear program. They're also concerned, Iran's nuclear program, they're also concerned about these missile defense systems that are going to come in and make it more inhibitive for Israel to come against Iran and do what it needs to do to strategically strike it. Now, one of the other things that came up, and I want to get more into the prophetic aspects of what you just said, but when Netanyahu made his surprise trip to Russia, they're also saying that there was a secret weapon tested around that time. And so some people are wondering, well, what is the nature of this secret weapon? Is it an NNEMP, which is a non-nuclear electromagnetic pulse?
Mm-hmm.
Many people believe it could be. Now, of course, this is speculation, Tom, and I don't want to go too deep into it on the radio program, but there is a concern that Israel will have to do a major, massive attempt to prevent Iran's ability to retaliate, so that they're only really dealing with their proxies, the Hezbollah in Syria and Hamas, in a retaliatory response. The thought would be a electromagnetic pulse attack that might hit Iran first, sort of neutralize Iran's electronic capabilities and ability to respond very adeptly, and then of course strategically striking the nuclear plants and trying to send them back to the Stone Age. Now, I don't believe they're going to set them back to the Stone Age. I do believe they're going to attack, but Iran does emerge again in this relationship with Russia, and they come, and I believe they're nuclear-equipped. There's reasons for that. It says in Ezekiel 39 that they'll be burning the weapons for 7 years. I don't believe that they'll be burying the dead for 7 months. I believe these will be contaminated soldiers, and so on and so forth. So I believe there's enough evidence to realize that this is a nuclear invasion coming against Israel. And, of course, why would Russia and Iran leave their best weapons on the shelf in the event that they want to come against Israel? But the interesting thing, Tom, and I've been out teaching on this. I've got a CD out on it called Psalm 83 or Ezekiel 38, which is the next Middle East news headline. Many people think that this Russian-Iranian invasion is about to happen in the very, very near future, and they are justified in thinking that. Joel Rosenberg's got a book out called Epicenter, outstanding book. Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapels is pretty much thinking that Ezekiel 38 and 39 is coming very near, and I agree with him, but I don't think it's next. It's near, but it's not next.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Russian-Iranian relationships have never been stronger. Russia's helping Iran with their nuclear program. They just recently conducted joint naval exercises, first time in Russia and Iran's history, in the Caspian Sea. I mean, there are all these evidences that Ezekiel 38 and 39 could be coming near. It talks about an Israel gathered out of the nations in the last days back into the land, and then Russia wants to come after them, and they want to come after a wealthy Israel that's dwelling securely without walls. This is what the descriptions very much description given about this invasion in Ezekiel 38 and 39, but that is not the Israel of today. The Israel of today is not dwelling securely without walls. They're preparing for a multi-front war. They're preparing for a preemptive strike on Iran. They've got a 403-mile wall running down the center of Israel, trying to keep a Palestinian terror out of Israel proper. They're not the wealthy nation that Iran seeks to invade, but I believe that after Psalm 83, when the Israeli Defense Forces, who I believe exist in fulfillment of Bible prophecy today, as for Ezekiel 37:10, Ezekiel 25:14, and Obadiah 1:18, in case your listeners want to look those up, I believe that they are going to conquest over the Psalm 83 Arab nations.
Now, hang on right there, because you know I'm a fan, and I have said before that one of the things that I think sets Bill Salas apart from others, and frankly the reason why your publisher published your book, is Relestine, and you've actually made your name among prophecy circles, and actually your works led to you being invited now onto Jewish television shows. You're being invited to speak at these major prophecy conferences across the United States. It's because you actually saw something in the scripture that's prophecy, and you've been able to persuade a significant body of very well-respected names, very well-respected and well-known prophecy experts, that the Gog-Magog war is not what's going to happen next, but it's what you're talking about right now. You call it Greater Israel, or the one-state solution. Tell us about this.
Yes, Greater Israel. The problem with the world today, and unfortunately much of the Christian community, is they look at the lesser Israel of today. They fixate their focus on this tiny, struggling to survive little Israel. But I don't, you know, God gave Abraham a promise in Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3, and he said, I will make you a great nation. And he goes on to talk about you'll be a blessing to the families of the earth, and I'll bless those who bless you, Abraham. And, of course, this would mean his descendants as well, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the Jewish people. But I will curse those who curse you. So God's foreign policy was also delivered 4,000 years ago in Genesis verses 12, chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. But the point I want to pick up on is this, Greater Israel. God said, I will make you a great nation. The Hebrew word is gadol, and it means a massive, marvelous, mighty, prominent, very prosperous nation.